Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamflett and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT tonight. And if anyone like Michael Sidgwick hasn't seen NXT last week, Hamflett, it was surprisingly good on an unopposed night, wasn't it?
Yeah. I love the Partridge voice there.
That's it. Yeah. The risk is obviously we've become a little bit too hair ruffly with NXT now that it's got a night all to itself because it's been chased off the one it tried to defend the new opposition against. It was, yeah, quite a balanced couple of hours. There wasn't much to gripe about, which for me personally felt like a bit of a change of pace for NXT in 2021. I'd say the easy way to define last week's episode was that it was more night one than night two, if we're talking in terms of stand and deliver. It sort of exemplified all the things about the product that mostly work. Like the in-ring was quite like unusually sharp compared to how blunted it always feels. They couldn't help themselves making Raquel Gonzalez and, for that matter, Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley the kind of smiling, nodding champions. But it came off the back of a really, really great Dakota Kai. Here she is! She couldn't have done it without me, but here she is! Raquel Gonzalez type, you know, thing. Yeah, all the seeds were planted for some decent, if not amazing, stories going forward in this first new chapter for NXT. This card doesn't particularly inspire me, if I'm honest, that we're going to preview, which isn't ideal as a follower. But yeah, I thought it was like surprisingly watchable, and not just because it was after watching 2 hours of wrestling already.
I think that's what it is, Sid. You may find this yourself in terms of being more inclined to perhaps...
Has Wilborn disappeared with his terrible internet connection again?
On my back yet?
Yes, you're back.
Your internet connection...
No, he's gone!
No, he's gone!
I'm gonna take over as host.
You're commandeering this.
I'm commandeering this podcast.
Okay. With that.
Dead air is the absolute death of radio and podcasting. So let's have a look at what has been announced. And I'll tell you what, Michael Hamflett, your boy, Joy Division Uber fan and miserablest goth, Kyle O'Reilly is back. What's going to happen with him? They have somehow... I've seen a GIF or an MP4 or a tweet, not the actual show. I was getting some nicely and richly deserved sleep. But I've had the terrifying notion that they are going to continue Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, which leads me to the question, what can they possibly do after a grinding 40-minute attritional war in which they virtually did everything to the detriment of the match itself? I mean, I was talking 3 stages of hell. You're not going to get 22 brisk minutes after all that. So what actually is next? And should we be terrified of it?
Yes. 80-minute loser leaves NXT match is the only possible solution where we just get the same stuff twice. Or you could watch...
Gangira Island Death Match.
Yeah, it was so depressing to see the... I think this skit that they thought was really cute and would get a lot of engagement where basically... Cole and O'Reilly are pitched as stretcher-bound Statler and Waldos, getting rolled into a local medical facility, screaming at each other across these stretchers after the brutality of the night two match. And yeah, it just teed up this idea that this is not over. This can never be over. Because everything is Shawn versus Triple H. Everything is Gargano versus Ciampa on this show. Kyle O'Reilly will come back tonight and say he's the fitter of the two because he's recovered quicker, I guess. But Adam Cole has shown no cowardice and has shown no mercy and has not really acted like a heel in any particular regard off the back of this defeat. A match he lost with sort of with honour because it took such a like hellacious move by Kyle O'Reilly to get it done. Adam Cole wouldn't stay down. Nobody stays down anymore. Nobody sells anything. There is nothing left for them to do because they exploited it all. They exploit it all for the thrills and joys of people that almost exclusively only watch this show. I would say maybe even that don't even watch the main roster. I saw take suggesting that this was the match of the year, which, I mean, how many matches have you watched? If you think, is this your first? did you just switch on for night two? And even then, I don't think it was probably the best match of that card. So, yeah, the prospect of this rematch fills me full of dread, which, to be honest, I was feeling for the first one. And I hate that they've made me feel this way about these two guys. But Wilborn was on the money, I think, with his original prediction for what should have been night two, stipulation of loser leaves NXT. There might be a light at the end of this tunnel because winners and losers need to start leaving NXT. They really do. In this post-Wednesday Night War era, it's my like steadfast belief that NXT becomes the third brand in drafts, becomes the third brand in roster movement. You need to get some people off this show because just the old adage of, oh, when they move to the main roster, they're doomed, is dead. Now it's be replaced by, they're just doomed, full stop. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly together on the show feel doomed. Gargano and Ciampa, no matter if they're doing good stuff at the time, which both of them are, feel doomed because they've been there forever. Damian Priest doesn't feel doomed because at least he's gone somewhere. At least he's trying to do something different. I'm all in favour of not so much these having one more match, but of these deciding that one of them has to go. I think it's time to see one of them just wrestle. It's the Seth Rollins thing. Just give me some different coloured ropes for my Kyle O'Reilly matches. I submit, I give in. Like, either him or Adam Cole can wrestle on a red or a blue show instead because I just don't want to see them wrestle each other anymore.
The thing with Kyle O'Reilly is it feels like the natural progression for him would be to elevate into another title match with someone like a Karrion Kross. But like you say, the way it was presented last week, Hamlet, it's never going to be over sort of thing. And I don't know, like, I love Kyle O'Reilly.
Sorry, Wilborn. But what stip can they possibly do after a 40-minute unsanctioned? Yeah. They have to sanction something more violent. I mean, it's just absolutely nonsensical. They have to sanction something yet more violent because the rules of drama, which WWE frequently betray, but will be kind of NXT because it's better than Raw or SmackDown. The tenets of drama means that this has to build on something that is eating itself. So how can you build on regurgitated bullshit? So there has to be a sanctioned high level of violence. What a waste of absolute bloody time.
Maybe NXT.
Say again?
An I quit match, and if they quit, they leave NXT. That's the only elevation.
I quit NXT, something like that. Or maybe, just maybe, boys. And much like Impact Rebellion, we should see the one-night return of Mauro Ranallo so we can bring back this sinister strip.
I mean, I've got it. I've just stumbled upon it. It's Shawn Michaels Triple H, isn't it? The armbands, end of an era, is what they're going to call it. Undisputed era. Bobby Fish is going to stand in the middle of them like Shawn Michaels did. Arms around the pair of them saying, yeah, you can't do this anymore. One of you has to leave. Like looking at his hands, staring. Like there's going to be a super kick and pedigree combo for a two count that nobody saw coming. Like the last shot into, I don't know, what even is Bobby Fish's finisher? Just like hurting his own leg, going online and saying weird things. Anyway, end of an era thing. Cedric, you might have missed this last week. Roderick, in some decent plot development, Roderick Strong handed in his notice.
Saw this?
Yeah, really good this. This idea that he's actually going to like let his actions speak as loud as his words. He doesn't want to be around the collapse of his stable. He doesn't believe there's anything left for him in NXT, considering that all his friends hate each other. and he's going to try and do something else. It felt like either a really interesting way to move somebody to Raw or SmackDown, or a possibly even more interesting way to reintroduce the Roddy Strong character completely away from these two whinging dickheads that used to be his mates. Like, that may factor into a finish as well. But like, decent plot development. I am curious about him, and I feel like I won't get any sort of resolution to that for a couple of weeks. I'm actually going to want to see what Roddy Strong's next move is as a result of that.
I mentioned Karrion Kross there, Sige. Raquel Gonzalez, Karrion Kross, of course, and both new world champions. Who would you like to see both in face? They were sort of alluding last week to potentially Mercedes Martinez going after Raquel Gonzalez, but she's maybe going a bit of a long-winded route about that. So, yeah, what do you direction you see both of these going in next?
Well, an immediate problem with strapping two new champions and, in effect, the way that NXT so wonderfully presents its women's title is that they are, in effect, the modern equivalents to the WWE heavyweight, to the world heavyweight, the big gold and the spinner. Like, they do feel like they're on equal footing. However, the problem is that given the physical makeup of both these champions, the fact that they've been strapped at the same time is that you are now going to have two big programs over the next month or possibly two leading to the next takeover, or maybe just a 3-week push for a title, TV title defense. Either way, I'm thinking these two champions alike are both racing past the first two challenges at a minimum, given that they're big, huge, like, aura spectacle performers, one of which is much better than the other. Raquel Gonzalez, you're better. So the challenge for NXT, if not to effectively cast doubt over the outcome, it's just to make it halfway interesting and get... And I will accept, like, I'm not going to accept it or buy into an imminent title switch for either person. I think they've strapped two people at entirely the wrong time, and I think we'll see the results of that like imminently, and it's going to be pretty damn boring, in fact. But just off the top of my head, like, who is a babyface on that goddamn brand who is, and I'm talking as an opponent for Cross here, who is really well liked? People might be prepared to like him that bit more in about a year's time. And I'm struggling, like, I am struggling for options here. I've always been a big fan of Jake Atlas, and I would like to see them do more with him, but I just think that's such pie in the sky, Photoshop, match graphic, fantasy booking. I've really got no idea. I've got no idea at all.
I kind of believe I'm going to pitch this guy for Karrion Kross, you know?
What?
Like, kind of believe I'm going to pitch this guy for Karrion Kross. But last week, I thought there was allusions made to the fact that, like, Pete Dunne won his way back into contention because of his takeover win. And they're going to play with the idea that Kross is a contemporary tweener. And you're right. I think he needs baby faces more than he needs heels, Karrion Kross, desperately so, to work a match that's more likely to get him over.
It's weird that, sorry to interject, but the second you reminded me, oh, no, he's a babyface, so he should be having heel. I totally forgot this guy's meant to be a babyface.
He's not both. He's neither.
Yeah, no, their minds, he is, so I should be thinking of heels. But yeah. He's a babyface. It's odd. So who is it? Wilborn, save us.
I, like you say, I don't know. It should be Kyle. It's probably going to be Finn Balor again. Like, it should be Kyle O'Reilly. But like you say, it seems inevitable that they're going to go back to the Undisputed Era well one more time.
I know, but Kyle O'Reilly is your guy to unseat him eventually, 6 months down the line, I would say. There's no one else on that brand who's getting the bollocks Kyle O'Reilly up. Everything I liked about him as a babyface is like a pretty funny guy who's not funny, draw money. He's kicked out of you, and I will pay money to watch that. He's what I'm saying. He's like a likable, well-rounded dude in a world of like intense tweeners. And lo and behold, he has now become kind of an intense tweener. So he's as well. I've got any idea. And I think NXT are going to struggle to come up with ideas as well.
I mean, that's angry, for all angry.
Sorry, say again?
Angry air guitar Kyle O'Reilly was one of the saddest things I've ever seen. You know, he tried to like put a stern face on it in his entrance.
Well, I told you guys on NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 2 that because of the time that I have to get up to get a decent amount of sleep, and you take that away from the earliest possible time your kids could wake up, I'd skip the entrances. And then I buried the match because it was rubbish on Twitter. And then someone replied saying, oh, it was the worst thing about it was Kyle O'Reilly air guitaring moodily to his entrance. I'm like, what? So I went back and watched it. I'm like, what are you doing? When John Moxley, right, had his goddamn exploding barbed wire death match at Revolution, he doesn't really do a pulls thing anyway, but he still just had a swig from a hip flask of whiskey, went to steel himself for the battle. Kyle O'Reilly played air guitar like a 10-year-old, or Hiroshi Tanahashi is the only person alive who's allowed to do it in earnest. Kyle O'Reilly used to do it as a joke. You don't do that as earnest, you tit. I hate them all.
I'm far more excited about the women's title picture at Hamlet, because you could line up 3, 4, 5 potential challenges for Raquel Gonzalez as she transitions, perhaps.
Yeah, I think they did some quite cute stuff with Mercedes Martinez last week. This idea that she wants a shot, and they've tried to suggest that, like, she's on the cusp of getting one, but she's got a couple of matches to win. And luckily, they've given her those couple of matches, and the fact that she's got to tie up her loose ends with the Robert Stone brand. He hasn't paid her. He's a scumbag. He's got jobbers basically working for him that Mercedes Martinez can crush. That gets her a wins, that gets her a shot. She's a good opponent in terms of the kind of match she can have with Raquel Gonzalez. It's one of the things about going back to the Diesel comparison with Gonzalez. And last week I was critical on Twitter of not turning it into WWF magazine Diesel with a great big smile slashed across her face, because that was a huge mistake they made with Nash as soon as they put the title on him. But it gets a bit forgotten. And Nash says this himself. He got to spend a year watching Shawn Michaels to learn to be great at being Diesel. And then all of a sudden the belt was put on top of him. And he needed more Bretts and Shawns than he got Mabel's, and no disrespect to, you know, some of his great matches, but Davey Boy Smith's and the like, and Sid's. He needed wrestlers. Mercedes Martinez, like a world of experience, can wrestle any kind of match that Raquel Gonzalez needs, can have like that awesome Rhea Ripley style chemistry with Gonzalez, just that fight, just that brawl. She can probably babyface Raquel Gonzalez without having Gonzalez betray the character she's built up, and have Gonzalez become this kind of smiling goof. A similar wrestler, albeit of a different stature, that I think could do the same for Gonzalez is Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae is such a good all-rounder that she could work in her character currently as a heel without making a pure babyface out of Raquel Gonzalez. You just get to see Raquel Gonzalez exhibit a strength and size sort of difference over likes for Candice LeRae. They're not fortunate, because obviously this is the point of building up a roster this big, but they are certainly blessed with a number of wrestlers that in very different ways can get the best out of Raquel Gonzalez to make her look like this, like a bit of a polymath, I guess. Like, good at everything, massive, like full of skills, to the point where she doesn't need Dakota Kai. And that becomes the whole point. Like, we go month by month by month, where Dakota Kai comes to realize, oh Christ, she's become my meal ticket rather than the other way around. How am I going to sort of stop? How am I going to put the glass ceiling over her head? And then we get the feud off the back of it. And I have a lot of faith that they're going to get through that as well. It's because of that belt. I just think they respect the prestige of that title too much to ruin it. And I do think they'll get to where they need to go with this character.
Is Gonzalez a face now?
No, like, I wish the show had less tweeners, because I think she's getting away with being a tweener. Last week was a little bit too much in the way of happy to be here, look at us all, haven't we all won titles, all shucks sort of thing. But my gut feeling is this week, she's going to go back to looking out for a little mate. She's Diesel in November 94 before he beats Backlund.
Right, okay. Yeah. That means she's going to be screwed imminently then. Cool. As for an opponent for Gonzalez, they're running the risk of... I don't think they're running the risk at all, actually, because she's been vanished a little bit in terms of singles stardom. Shotzi Blackheart, like, she's got this incredibly reckless style that I would really like to get behind, to watch her try and take down this absolute towering giant. I think there's a really strong dynamic there as a first defense. And the best thing about Shotzi Blackheart is that in a goddamn bastardized atrocity of a developmental brand where they're all 40 or they're all incredibly, and I would say fully developed talents in the terms of like the early to mid 30s guys like Cole and O'Reilly. She's an actual developmental prospect who you can see improving before your very eyes. And I think she's probably ready for the challenge before the capture, if you like. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of new champions, we have Kushida, who won the Cruiserweight Championship from Santos Escobar next week. He's going to have a championship celebration tonight, Michael Sidgwick. These never end well, do they?
No. No, they don't really start particularly well either. given how they book talent who do not speak English as a primary language, I firmly expect him to not even get a word out before you hear Santos Escobar's theme. Like, not even a word, and then you get the beat down. It's one of those things where if this was the culmination of, like, a really well-plotted character arc, like, it would be nice to share in a genuine celebration, but, like, it's just right place, right time. Situationally, someone said something, and he came out and won. It just doesn't feel like... Did he win clean in the middle?
Yes.
Yeah, he in the middle, so I guess it's something to celebrate, but you typically only do a celebration when it's a heel being an arsehole or when it's a baby face at the culmination of something. So I feel like a celebration, it's like, well, you didn't earn your shot because you got beat like the week before. It just feels like the optics of this feel like an angle for angle's sake rather than anything that... I mean, it's never been like a celebration. It's like, that's it. Goodbye. But at least you have 5 minutes of something nice before you do the angle. I don't think we'll even get that. Just feels like... I often refer to WWE and what they do on television. It's like a Rolodex of tropes, like a Rolodex of finishes. Feels like, right, okay, what can we do? Championship celebration, heel beat down. And I don't think it's worth wasting any more words on that personally, unless Hamlet has a better idea of how it might go.
Well, it could be worse, Michael Hamlet. There was Jordan Devlin suggesting that he might challenge last week.
Yeah, he wanted that shot, didn't he, before he was sent back to that warehouse in Enfield, which, you know, at least looks like a prison. It's one of them things with Kushida where, you know, in the old days where you would, like, have to buy a pay-per-view rather than, say, pay your 10 quid for the network or whatever. And this idea that, like, they're not going to convince me to part with money for this match that they might be trying to sell. That's very much how I feel about any kind of rematch currently between Kushida and Escobar. Feels like there's one in the chamber, but... like, there's no way I'd ever part with cash for it. It's not that kind of match. There's not that kind of engagement. So great that Kushida won in the manner he did. I actually think what they'll try and do, and don't ask me the follow-up question of, well, who? But I think they'll try and have somebody else say, well, right, Escobar's, like, you know, NXT tries to observe the no rematch thing like WWE put in place. Probably does a little bit of a better job than Raw and SmackDown does. So it's not just as simple as a straight rematch for Escobar. It's somebody else. Swerve. Swerve's won his match with Ruff, hasn't he? So Swerve steps up.
They kept fighting last week, though. It just never ends.
Yeah. Like, I know my feud with Leon Ruff is never going to end. However, I'm kind of winning most of the matches in it. So yeah. I want a shot. And then you kind of do that thing where they give it 2 weeks and they build to, like, Kushida's first big defense, and it's against Swerve. And, like, you get a video package and you get a pretty great match, actually, as well. A decent television defense. First televised defense for Kushida. He wins. And there's the Escobar attack. And Escobar's been sat seething, waiting for his opportunity to strike. And he wants one more. and at TakeOver May, I'm going to take you down, Kushida. And there's your, like, that's your sort of very standardized commoner garden build for the North American title rematch that they can technically say isn't a rematch.
I've just realized that three weeks till Blood and Guts, Sage? TakeOver May Day, the night before anything else.
They're not allowed. They're not allowed. They can do it on Peacock if they want. Dickhead.
Bloodier and gutsier.
We have got a debut tonight, Hamfler. Saray, they've been building this up. Do you know anything about her? They're hyping up. We've seen clips of her, I think, fighting. Was it Aja Kong? I saw a clip of. Anyway, she looks incredible. And, you know, the storied history of Japanese wrestlers coming over to American promotions is a good sign.
Yeah, bad wrestling fan here, because I haven't done much beyond what NXT or the odd YouTube highlight package has told me, which is a little bit like when your football team has signed this player you've never heard of, so you go looking for them on YouTube and you only see these
world skills.
Just it's like, oh wow, we've signed the best player in the world. That's ideal. How come no other club had heard of him? Like, and it's so I sort of feel like, not that the jury's out on Saray, that's an unfair judgment on her, but I kind of eagerly await NXT's presentation of her to be like the sheep that I sometimes am, be told what to think about her. And I don't say that condescendingly. I more mean, I want to see tonight if they present her in the way that we've been built or if this is some sort of bait and switch. William Regal's talked her up as a big deal. That's, you know, they've put pressure on this to succeed. This new character, this yet another injection of a new body into the women's division following, like, the relative success so far of Zoe Stark, I would say. Like, they're not afraid to stack up this women's division with yet more brand new people. You've got a 1,000-year-old ghost dragon, like, waiting in the wings behind Xia Li. There's a number of people that they can now spend time building to ultimately be, like, title challenge ready. So Saray could be that. I've been really impressed with the, not just like the matches of Zoe Stark, which have been all pretty decent, sometimes even better than that, but the gradual development of her as well, the use of Io Shirai before she's potentially finished with this brand forever as a kind of like mentor role within it. They pay attention. So if this character is who William Regal and YouTube has told me it is, she'll probably be a long-term success for them.
On the subject of those goddamn goals and skills videos, those things that dupe you. I remember when we signed friggin' Riviere, and I looked at his really good athletic body. It's like, Jesus Christ, he's a unit, but like he's shredded. I was like, right, Craig, how many goals? 11 goals in League One? I mean, they can build on that. He's still young enough. Maybe he's Thierry Henry. And then I went on bloody YouTube, looked at goals and skills, and like they were all like ballooning off his shin and like over the keeper. I thought this guy's going to be absolutely rubbish. Happily, I think Saray's going to be much. Say again.
Did you ever see the clip of, I think it was Villa, Aston, we're going off on a tangent here, but I think it was Aston Villa. They got a new manager or someone like that. And the club Twitter account went, here's what you can look forward to watching next season. And just posted footage of like the club you used to manage. It's like, you can look forward to watching effectively Brentford next season. Good luck with that. It's going to be great.
But happily, all reports indicate, and honestly, my God, if there's one thing I hate about WWE, it's everything. And most prominent among which is that my job means that we are a mainstream wrestling outlet. Like, God damn it. If I could write about Stardom, if I could write about Joshi Tokyo Pro every single goddamn day, I would. But unfortunately, we're a mainstream outlet. And it means a lot of my work is dedicated to watching WWE. So I really don't know anywhere near enough as I should. It's a source of embarrassment. Never used to be like this, you know. I used to watch the goddamn world. I used to watch the goddamn world. Go on anymore.
WWE freed up some of your time in the week. Didn't they? That was what it was. They stopped freeing up your time. They were like, can we give you a few more hours of our drivel, please?
Yeah, no. It's like, no. But I have to.
I think, you know, I'm excited to see what happens from the brief video packages that we've got. And like you say, the recent examples that we've seen. One final thing we want to talk about, and this relates again to last week, is, well, tonight's match, which is LA Knight versus Dexter Lumis. I'll get your thoughts on that in a second. But also, I am genuinely interested in Dexter Lumis tonight because I want to know, what's he been up to with Indy Hartwell? If you missed it last week, Indy Hartwell feigned injury concussion, KO, I don't know, and got herself carried off by Dexter Lumis. She's very excited about that. She'd been sort of alluding to it for quite some time. Have they finally found something, Sige, that makes us at least partially interested in Dexter Lumis? And how do you see this match with LA Knight going tonight?
Jesus Christ. I don't know about the optics of said angle. Is the implication that Dexter Lumis didn't go, oh, hang on, just passed out? Is it like he's just a nice guy who wanted to save her?
Exactly. Yeah, he was being the nice guy, and she actually opens her eyes and winks at the camera.
I did see the gif, but I didn't see him. Anything like, leading up to the gif. Well, he might be up to his nuts and guts. If she's got anything to do with it. I think that is a fascinating thread that I really look forward to watching on NXT Redemption. It's not NXT, is it?
No, it's very... whole main event last week had like massive, like it was brilliant. It had massive NXT Redemption vibes because you had about three different slightly like clinically insane angles going on at the same time. Johnny Gargano gradually unraveling and Bronson Reed trying really hard to make a six-person intergender tag team with Shotty Blackheart and Ember Moon.
I mean, I'm not into it.
It was good. It was.
I mean, I like NXT Redemption. That's what this is. It's one of those things where Wilborn's gone here.
Sorry, it's just the fact that before this, for my preparation, I go and scour and see if they've advertised anything. And they've done their usual, tonight on NXT. And they've gone like, what's going to happen when Dexter Lumis clashes with LA, you know, he's spliced with LA Knight saying, I'm going to kick his ass or whatever. Tonight, is Dexter Lumis up to his nuts and guts?
The thing about this goddamn match graphic, it's literally everything cynical, lapsed NXT fans can have a nice little chuckle at the expense of this show. Go, oh, Christ, look what this has turned into. I would not have done this week two. Absolutely not. Like, they have to know that Eli Drake is not a developmental guy and they are going to get... Because NXT exists to, like, be the cool brand. So surely strategically you want to do things that make you look cool and not like NXT Redemption, or not like a parody of what NXT used to be. Like if these lads were 22 and 23 with like aspirational, I want to be the Rock gimmick, so I'll be a serial killer because I can do stuff with my eyes. You'd be like way more generous. Like you'd be way more generous and think, oh, this is quite charming, maybe. And I can invest in it. It's like they're a combined age of 75 or whatever it is. It's like a bit of a laughing stock of an NXT match. This, the very best, it's not going to be good in the ring because it'll go at least 3 minutes longer than necessary, and it will have the temerity to like be a serious grinding wrestling match. The very best we can hope for, and I hope we get it, is either an intra match Eli Drake LA Knight promo. Hey, want to look at something, buddy? Why don't you look at this? And then slaps him across the face or something like that, or some kind of pre-match walking down the ramp promo.
God, that LA Knight. It's like, in every sense, that's your best impression, Cedric, because in every sense, like, it's not quite The Rock, is it? That's like, that's, LA Knight might as well have it at the top of his Wikipedia page. The upshot of this match, I think, is this is going to transition LA Knight into a North American title program with Johnny Gargano. I think the way you're going to be circling the ring, you know, it's too like this comedy.
Really, your face?
No, well, nobody's anything. Book whoever the hell you like against whoever they like, because nobody's anything. LA Knight stuff, they'll just tweak a little bit so he can be babyface against Gargano, or Gargano will be too much of a pop that it doesn't make a difference. You lost me when you lost Wilborn. I've just realised that on the promo for the 4th of May edition of NXT, it's going to be loser leaves, and they're going to say that Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly are going to be up to their nuts in blood and guts. The biggest decider for them too. Yeah, this match, like, it can't be any good, but it could be quite fun. I like The Fiend.
One final thing I want to talk to you about, and we're not going to do the sort of ratings predictions anymore, mainly because last week when we tried it, we were 300,000 off with me and Hamlet. So, 805,000 viewers for NXT last week, up nearly 5%, and does well in the demographics, etc. You see them retaining that this week, Hamlet?
Don't know. It's I don't know if it's going to become like an easier thing to predict than it was, as we proved it was far too hard over 2 years or whatever it was. I don't know if it's going to become an easy thing to predict now, because I think we're looking at probably about 2 or 3 weeks before we understand what a stable audience for either show is unopposed.
Yeah.
It was amazing seeing that AEW number come in. Absolutely amazing. But I'm dreading the prospect of some arseholes suggesting that it's all doom and gloom if they don't hit 1.2 again, because maybe 1.2 isn't their stable number yet, just in the same way that 800, which is pretty respectable, I guess, for NXT, but maybe that's not their stable number either. Maybe they again. I could see them being a more of a spike project than they were before. I think like the weeks where there's something big, you might see them tease a million again because they're just going to get extra people to tune in. But I don't know what their baseline is on this night of the week. Maybe 800 is that. So it's, I don't know. This isn't appealing, but then was last week's card that exciting? Was they, did they certainly didn't promise anything as a welcome to Tuesdays. They just said, like, see you next Tuesday. by Triple H himself. That was it. There wasn't like some sort of special night one. We're bringing over whomever from the main roster, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, tune in. This is what you're going to get every week. So maybe that is the baseline. Maybe 800,000 is the baseline. I just think it's going to take a few weeks before we know. We can even take a rough guess at what these the regular audiences are going to be for these shows now.
Yeah, I was talking to Will Bourne on the AEW New Dawn podcast, which you can, of course, listen to wherever you get your podcast from. That's going to be even stranger with AEW's trajectory, because I think they're going to decline sharply on Wednesday. As you said, like, boring arseholes are going to talk about how they're crap. But then it's going to like go even perhaps above 1.2 with Blood and Guts. So that's going to be all over the place, like a chevron for some time, I think. NXT, I'm going to have to invoke my man Chris Finch again. I think it's going to go down. I think it's going to go down. I think people were banging the takeover build. They really were. And they tend to be into these big shows at NXT because they've established, even amid its declining cool factor, like, they've built big matches that people are into, just like calculably. This show isn't that. I think it's the pattern indicates the downward trend. 750, 60, 70-ish.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, though, over the next few weeks for both shows. But let us know your thoughts ahead of NXT tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll have our review of NXT tomorrow and our preview of AEW Dynamite, as the wrestling never stops. But this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.